Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. As this week's NATO summit kicks off, instead of welcoming Sweden and Finland into the alliance, leaders will have to address the question of Turkey, which is derailing NATO's enlargement and threatening NATO ally Greece. While Greece has prepared to respond decisively if Turkish President Erdogan raises questions about the sovereignty of Greek islands in the Aegean at the summit, the question remains whether key members of the alliance, including the United States and Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, are ready to push back against Turkey. Ambassador Alexandros Malias, the former Greek ambassador to the United States and a frequent contributor to Kathimerini, joins me today to explain why it's time to have a real conversation about Turkey's role in NATO. Ambassador Malias, it's great to have you on The Greek Current.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure and honor being with you today.
Ambassador, given the challenges Turkey's posing to the NATO alliance, is it time for a broader rethink of Ankara's role in NATO?
The priority should be right now on NATO, which already revitalized following Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Yet, we see that Turkey and President Erdogan and his acolytes on a daily basis launch serious attacks against the West, against the United States, against France, against Germany, against Greece, and are obstructing NATO's enlargement to Sweden and Finland. Earnestly, I hope that the last moment, President Erdogan will realize that his personal political interest, his party's political record, and the domestic developments in Turkey cannot obstruct NATO's credibility, NATO's capabilities, and NATO's enlargement to two of the most democratic countries in Europe and the world, which is Sweden and Finland. So I hope that all this rhetoric will stop us from Wednesday, and that we're going to have a fruitful discussion on how to increase NATO's capabilities and credibility in the day after Putin's invasion of Ukraine.
Ambassador, it's clear that if Turkey, applied for NATO membership today, it most likely would not meet the alliance's fundamental criteria. But there is no mechanism to expel a member from the alliance. In your view, then, what should any conversation about Turkey's role within NATO today look like?
My take is that if Turkey and if President Erdogan wants to open a discussion within NATO at a summit level, not an ambassadorial level, because you may know that NATO's ambassadors meet on a weekly basis within the framework of what we call NAC, the North Atlantic Council. So they meet there and they could discuss every issue and also every issue brought the attention by any country. For example, based on Article 4, Greece could bring the attention on Turkey's aggressive and threatening behavior, which is fundamentally against the North Atlantic Treaty, NATO's Charter, Articles 1, 2, and 5. So I think that it will be a tremendous handicap to NATO, to NATO countries' leaders, and to NATO's credibility at this most critical phase of Putin's aggression against Ukraine and through Ukraine against the West, to have President Erdogan, who is a close ally, a partner to Putin, to bring demons within NATO at the head of governments or state level.
Ambassador, a key factor in any broader discussion on Turkey is the United States. While Congress has been clear about Turkey, we've seen mixed signals from the administration, particularly when it comes to Turkish aggression in the Aegean. Given your experience in the United States, do you think Washington is ready to turn up the pressure on Ankara?
From my experience, because I spent 8 years working in the States and the last four of them as ambassador in Washington, is that we have done in a very intensive manner the last 15 years a great job working with the Congress, because the Hill has always been the added value of Greece, of Cyprus, and of the Orthodoxy in Washington. What I mean with that the elected representatives of the American people, notwithstanding their partisan differences, and we only see that now, they are supporting on a bipartisan basis the issues and values who much reflect the American values as represented in the U.S. Constitution and NATO's charter. So regarding the Department of State, to be frank with you, they have always been behaving like this. So the bureaucracy, and I do not underestimate bureaucracy because they are within the political decision-making process, but I think they think which is wrong, that by keeping this quote-unquote neutrality, as Eddie Zemenidis stressed in his articles last Sunday in Kathimerini, keeping this neutral quote-unquote stance, which in fact favors a country who violates systematically the UN Charter and NATO's Charter, would rather give them some leverage. This is wrong. And the more this kind of so-called neutrality is proposed as a US policy, which not actually, because White House several times and Secretary Blinken in his letter to Prime Minister Mitsotakis dated October 12, 2021, stress out, this stance has one only result, renders the US-Turkey relations more complicated, more difficult, and the price that the United States, not Greece, will be called to pay to Turkey is increasingly higher. This is my assessment, both as a former ambassador of Greece to Washington, but also as a daily observer, monitor, and follower of the US policies in the Eastern Mediterranean, in Europe, and vis-a-vis Turkey. To sum up, the more the State Department is proposing this so-called neutral stance, the conclusion is that you favor the aggressor. And my earnest desire is to see the Department of State's leadership, but also the White House, just ignoring this kind of conflicting messages coming from the Department of State's bureaucracy, whose influence I have never and I do not underestimate.
As we mentioned, Turkey has insisted on escalating tensions with Greece to dangerous levels. Is Athens prepared should Erdogan decide to raise issues concerning the sovereignty of Aegean Islands or their demilitarization at the NATO summit?
Greece takes the threat of war launched on a daily basis. We live last 45 years with a daily threat coming from Turkey for launching a war, a NATO ally against a NATO ally. So Greece's position is that at this juncture, it's not Greece who will start this discussion with the NATO, but Greece will be very happy to respond to any kind of direct or indirect allegations, commentaries, and attacks by the head of state of another NATO member, this is Turkey, in violation of NATO Charter against Greece. So we shall be ready to respond in any kind of aggressive rhetorics coming from President Erdogan. And if you see President Erdogan's act, not just rhetoric, you're going to find out that they converge 100% with Russia Federation's interests in the Black Sea and in the Eastern Mediterranean. And we should never forget, never, that at this point, today, 48 hours before the opening of the NATO summit, Turkey has in his arsenal Russian-made S-400 missiles, and they are under sanction by the United States under the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act, CATSA, sanctions by the U.S. Congress and by the U.S. administration. So we have to see the big picture, and Greece is committed, working very closely with the NATO allies and in particular with the United States, with whom our relations have reached an unprecedented level of cooperation, trust, and confidence based on principles, to make NATO as strong, as powerful, as credible as it should be now, responding to several global threats and war threats coming not just by Mr. Erdogan, but mostly from Mr. Vladimir Putin. This is our take. This is our stance. So we are not going to launch a discussion, but we shall be there and we shall respond to any kind of attempt by Turkey's President Erdogan to undermine NATO's solidarity, unity, and cohesion.
Ambassador, are you concerned that the alliance, you know, especially after the statements we've seen from the U.S. State Department and NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, that it isn't aware of the serious threat Turkey's rhetoric on the Aegean poses, not only to Greece, but to the NATO alliance?
It's not just rhetoric, there are acts. Turkey right now has invaded Cyprus, illegally, in accordance with the UN resolutions, occupy almost 40% of Cypriot territory, keeps over 35,000 occupation troops on territory of an EU country, has invaded Syria. Turkey invades Syria. Why? That is undermining tremendously United States foreign policy and national security interests. They are fighting, they are killing the Kurds, which has been proved to be the strongest on the field ally of the United States and other NATO allies in the fight against Islamic terrorism, ISIS. Third, Turkey intervened militarily in the conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh. I don't comment on which side, but their military intervention was illegal in violation of UN Security Council resolution. They are illegally present militarily in Libya, and they have a strong military presence in the Asian Minor coasts and debarkation troops who target Greece's territory. So it's not just rhetoric, sir. There are acts, and we take the threat as a security threat to, of course, Greece, but also a threat to NATO and to the national security interests in the Eastern Mediterranean.
Ambassador, thank you for joining us on The Greek Current. Great speaking with you.
Thank you very much.
In other news, Greece is set to further seal its land frontiers with Turkey, tripling the length of a fence built to block illegal migrants from entering. The plan comes as Greece faces a sudden surge in refugees, both along its land and sea frontiers, and amid heightened tensions with Turkey. While inflows dropped dramatically from the 2015 refugee crisis, an estimated 1,000 migrants make illegal crossings every day. That's about 20% higher than last year. In response, hundreds of additional border guards have been deployed along the Evros frontier in recent weeks to bolster patrols. The sudden surge in refugee flows has authorities concerned, and Migration Minister Notis Mitarakis said that there's a clear attempt by Turkey to instrumentalize migrants in creating a crisis with Greece. Finally, trust among the Greek and Turkish Cypriot communities on Cyprus is at a low point, but their cooperation in combating a wildfire in the occupied northern part of the island was very positive, Colin Stewart, the UN Secretary General's special representative in Cyprus, said on Monday. Stewart added that this cooperation illustrates a fundamental point about this island, and that is the solidarity among Cypriots. Colin Stewart was speaking after a meeting with Cypriot President Nikos Anastasiadis to discuss finding some way to move forward on the political process with regard to the Cyprus problem. The meeting took place ahead of Stewart's trip to New York, where the UN Security Council is expected to vote to renew the UN Peacekeeping Force mandate at the end of July. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.